You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio. Happy Sunday. We hope you are having a great day today and thanks for joining us. I'm here with my pal, sidekick, and right-hand man, Tony St. Tone.
Hi, everyone. How are you guys doing this morning? It is a beautiful Sunday morning here in California.
Yeah, and we have a really cool guest today, personal friend of ours, somebody we love, 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 and support every chance we get. His name is Mr. Adam Rifkin.
Tell us a little bit about Adam.
Well, Adam's a writer, a director, and sometimes an actor. He's a great actor. He just plays that down a little bit. He's known for a lot of family films, like he's the big cheese behind Underdog and Mouse Hunt and Small Soldiers, all three great family movies. He's also got some indie movies that are pretty familiar, Detroit Rock City, Look, The Dark Backwards, and an upcoming show called Reality Show. Very exciting.
Yeah, well, you didn't mention Chillerama, which is a movie that you and I were in.
It's true.
And that's when we first met Adam. Chillerama is a three-piece
thriller
that he put out around Halloween, but it's excellent. It's about 2 years ago, I think, he put it out.
Yep.
Great movie. Janie and I make an appearance in it, and that's how we got to know Adam and got to meet him on set. And we've worked on a couple of movies with him, so fun guy to be with as far as on set and also off set. So, yeah, we're going to talk to him in a little bit, but we're going to talk about something else right now.
I hope everybody had an awesome Halloween.
We had an awesome Halloween.
We did. We went downtown Hollywood, and there is a festival that goes on every year at Halloween, and people just wear the most outrageous costumes you've ever seen.
Actually, go to our Facebook or go to my Facebook to see some of it. Tony, S.T. Livornia. That's Facebook, and I put a bunch of photos up. There were some really, really cool outfits out there.
What's awesome about going to a Halloween party / festival in Hollywood is you have all these guys that work in the industry, and they do just a phenomenal job with their costumes. Sometimes they are people who do like the bloody and the gore and all that fabrication on your skin, and other people are the set designers or they're the clothing designers, and so they literally combine sets and clothing onto their body with great scars and blood and guts illusions. And
it's the most realistic Halloween you'll ever experience, I think.
Absolutely.
At least for me, having lived in Connecticut and having lived in Florida, out here they take it
serious.
Well, they take
it to hardcore.
The next level. Yeah.
It's a lot like Fantasy Fest in Key West. If you've ever seen or heard about Fantasy Fest, it's similar but different. Similar in that the costumes were just outrageous and to the most beautiful detail. Unbelievable, but definitely check it out online if you haven't seen it lately or heard about it. Definitely worth peeking at get the giggle.
Which one was your favorite?
My favorite were the two guys that literally had a set built around their bodies, and they one guy was ironing,
yes,
and the other one was like pouring tea or something. It was pretty crazy.
And what they were is if they take those old advertisements like overworked and underpaid.
Yeah, like from the 50s.
From the 50s, yeah. And so they just literally built a table around themselves, and everything looked like the drawing. It was really amazing. And some of these other guys, the scrubbing bubbles.
Yeah, scrubbing bubbles. That was cool.
That was really cool.
Anyway, it was quite an experience, and I hope you had a safe, happy, fun celebration, no matter what you were celebrating. Now, we are in a new month. It's November. November is a month to be thankful in this country. We celebrate a holiday called Thanksgiving Day, which is celebrated this year on November 28th, and it's a day to reflect on being thankful for the things that you have, the things that you are experiencing in your life, and all the really cool opportunities that you have before you, and just be grateful, grateful, grateful. It's a day to really appreciate who you are, where you live, what you're doing, and the great people around you. It's also a really good time to show your appreciation of what you have by being a contributor to things like the Mayor's Feed the Hungry program. And there's a whole variety of new fundraising things that happen in November. We're going to go through a bunch of them and let you know what's going on coming up right after Mr. Adam Rifkin. So we're going to take a quick commercial here, And we will return with the fabulous writer, director, sometimes actor, Adam Rifkin. Stay tuned.
Give me that best case scenario. I want to hear it full blast stereo.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock song. Motivational musician Saint Tone.
I'm a magnet, off of money now. I'm a magnet, off of money now.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com. And pick up his newest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.
So, we are here with writer, director, and sometimes actor, Mr. Adam Rifkin. Welcome to the show, Adam. How are you today?
Hello. Thank you. Welcome. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing excellent. We're on the phone with Adam Rifkin. How can't we be in a bad mood?
So, Adam, we are thrilled to have you here with us today. We were talking a little bit about you earlier and some of the things that you're known for in the family realm as well as the indie films. And congratulations for all of your successes.
Thank you very much.
You don't sleep a whole lot.
Insomnia.
I have no life, so I'm pretty much a workaholic, but... I can't do it any other way.
One of the things that I really love about you, Adam, is something that I learned about you early on, where you take a regimented approach to your writing and the projects that you do, because you schedule on a daily basis getting up at a certain time, writing for a certain amount of time, and not letting anything distract you from your program. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I have found for me, and I know it's different for everybody, everybody has their process, but for me, in order to get the most amount done, I have to be very rigid with my schedule. So I keep a very regimented writing schedule. I'm not one of those writers that just sort of waits for the inspiration to hit me or just wakes up in the middle of the night and starts writing. My writing schedule is my job. I really do it like a job. So I wake up at a certain time. I go to my office where I write, and I sit there and I write for the same amount of time that a person would be at the office clocked in, you know, doing any other job. And, sometimes I get 10 pages written in a day. Sometimes I get 20 pages written in a day. Sometimes I get one page written in a day. Sometimes nothing I write is any good, and I don't get anything accomplished in a day, but I do it every day. It's the only way that I can get all of the things done that I need to get done on a timely schedule.
So were you ever in the military? Because that sounds like, you know, a very
regimented
military schedule.
I was never in the military, but it just is sort of the way it I found that it worked best for me. And I've been writing since I was very young. I wrote my first screenplay when I was 19, and I just have stuck to the same style of schedule ever since.
I think it's a great thing. It's just being a creative person myself, I know that I had to make that transition at one point to say, hey, if you want to do this for real, you have to actually knuckle down and make decisions so things get completed. And I think that's an excellent advice for people that are in the creative world, being a musician or actor or writer, that unless you put in the time and really discipline yourself, it's that much harder to get things done. And obviously you've proven it successful by doing this, hitting deadlines and meeting certain requirements that are needed out there in the entertainment world.
Bravo, I say.
You're a role model, mister.
I don't know about that, but it works for me. It works for me. So, I encourage people to do it whichever way works best for them, but that's the way that works for me.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I think, like, again, I wanted people to know who you are and what you're about, and Let's talk a little bit about what you are doing right now.
He's got something really cool coming up. You're doing a project with a gentleman named Mr. Penn Jillette, who a lot of people know as the Penn in Penn and Teller. How did you start working with Penn, Adam?
Yes, I'm doing this movie with Penn Jillette called Director's Cut, which we have just fully financed on a crowdfunding site called fundanything.com. And just as of last night, we hit our goal, which is very exciting.
And your goal is?
The goal was $1 million, and we raised our $1 million as of last night. And the campaign has been extended for another 2 weeks. And so, you know, hopefully we can raise a little bit more so we can afford to get some bigger stars in the movie. But,
excellent.
I mean, we're making the movie. The movie has been greenlit, and it's all thanks to the contributors who visited the site and dug deep. So thank you all. The way I got into business with Penn was I had made a movie that came out a few years ago called Look. And
that was on Showtime, right? Just for the people to know, is that the Showtime
the
one?
The series was on Showtime. The movie spawned a series, and the series was made for Showtime.
Okay.
But prior to the Showtime show, it was an independent movie. It was called Look. It's hard to search on Google for the word look and find it, so I would recommend people search Adam Rifkin's Look if they're looking for it.
Good idea.
And I learned that the hard way. And so the movie had come out, and it did really well, and it got a lot of good reviews, and we won a bunch of film festivals, and it made a bit of a splash on the art house scene. And a couple years later, I get a call from my assistant on a Friday night saying, hey, I don't know if you've heard, but Penn Jillette is tweeting about Look.
Ah.
I thought, wow, that's great. That's very flattering, because Penn, not only have I been a huge fan of Penn and Teller forever, but, I mean, Penn is known as being a very, very smart and very talented and very funny guy.
Absolutely, and he takes no bullshit,
so,
quote unquote.
Yeah, exactly, no bullshit. So I was very flattered. I get home, and I'm thinking to myself, God, I'm going to try and figure out a way to get in touch with Penn and thank him for tweeting about Look. And I look on Facebook, and there's a private message from Penn in my Facebook messages saying, my name's Penn Jillette, I'm part of Penn & Teller, as if I didn't know.
Right.
You know, I saw your film Look, and I loved it, and I would love to talk to you about it.
Wow.
And so it was just incredible. So I wrote him back, and I said, thank you so much. I've been a big fan of yours. Here's my phone number. Give me a call. This was Friday night, kind of late, so I thought, maybe I'll hear from them over the weekend. 2 seconds later, my phone rings. It's Penn Jillette.
He was on it.
He was on it. And he went on to say some very, very flattering things about the film. And then he told me that he had written a screenplay, and he had been racking his brain trying to figure out who the right director could be for it, and would I be open to considering directing it.
What an awesome compliment that is.
He thought I should be the one. So I said, I'd love to. He told me the story. I loved it. He sent me the script. I read it immediately. I called him back, probably 3 a.m. at this point. we had a great conversation. We agreed to go forward together and make this movie together.
Excellent.
And that's how we got into business together.
How long ago was that, just out of curiosity?
That was over a year ago. And it's a very unusual film. It's a very smart film. And so we toyed with the idea of seeking out some traditional financing. But ultimately, the movie is so unique that we knew that it would scare away traditional, you know, movie studio style investors.
Right, because they didn't have like a Hollywood ending, you mean?
I mean, it's just a really smart idea. It's not the kind of idea that you can encapsulate in one, you know, sentence. You know what I mean? It's really a thinking man's thriller. And or thinking woman's thriller, of course. And so at the same time that we were kind of rolling up our sleeves and figuring out how are we going to get this movie made, a bunch of crowdfunding campaigns all became very successful very quickly. Veronica Mars, very successful. Mm-hmm. Zach Braff, very successful. Spike Lee. And then, most recently, Penn's friend Adam Carolla raised the money to make his film on fundanything.com as well. And so we kind of decided, hey, what the heck, let's try it. This would give us total creative freedom to make the movie the way we see it. And Penn has a lot of very devoted fans. So we put a campaign together, and it worked. Thank God.
I got to say, I think that is so awesome that you guys are able to do stuff like that, because, again, it gives back the freedom to the artist, being a musician or actor or writer, and you're not being judged going, well, we can't have that because it's not your typical story, or it's not the ending that everyone wants. It's like, exactly, we're being creative. We're not being put into a little box that you guys want packaged all the time. So,
well, what it does is, luckily and thankfully, the fact that this exists, it puts the choice of what gets made into the hands of the fans,
and that's
instead
huge.
Of the hands of the man.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Hold on, that sounds like rap. Do you rap also? Because that would be interesting.
He's got that recorded. Don't be surprised if that's in the next Saint Tone song, okay?
Yeah, we're going to just
stolen by
up
Adam Rifkin. So I want to talk about the fundanything.com thing, because I think it's really cool that people can raise money for whatever they want on there. And we're always encouraging, being this is humanitarian radio, we encourage people to find ways to do fundraisers, whether it's a bake sale or it's a, you know, dinner for 10,000, whatever it is that you're into, find ways to raise money for your cause or what you're supporting. And I don't know if people realize that they can do that type of thing even on Fund Anything, because it's Fund Anything. So if you're trying to throw a big dinner at the Ritz to support breast cancer or whatever, it's the ability to be able to raise funds. So, Adam, how easy was it to put a Fund Anything together? Does it take a lot of work? Is it brain damaging? Or is it something that flows pretty smoothly and your average Joe could put this together?
Well, I'll tell you this. Putting it together is easy. You can put it together any which way you want. You write up your pitch. I'll give you the example of how we did it, but
okay.
It applies to anything, whether you're wanting to put up a campaign to fund an album or to fund a book or to fund a liver transplant or to fund whatever you want.
A book on liver transplants, whatever it is.
Yeah, that would work. So what we did is we wrote up the pitch, you know, that we wanted people to know, this is what the movie's about, this is why we're turning to you to help us get it made. Then we wrote up a list of rewards that make it appealing for people to want to get involved. I mean, this is not charity. They're getting cool stuff in exchange for their money. So for, for a certain amount of money, they can have a T-shirt and a poster and a copy of the DVD. For a larger amount of money, they get a line in the movie, or they could be an extra in the movie. Or because it's Penn, of Penn & Teller, some of the bigger rewards are tickets to Penn & Teller, a room at the Rio Hotel, and then a backstage private magic lesson from Penn & Teller.
Oh, how awesome.
And then there's all kinds of cool things. And, you know, a bigger reward was be one of the executive producers. You get your credit in the film. You get to be on the set whenever you want. Your name is on IMDb. So there's all kinds of cool rewards. So we made up our list of rewards, and then we shot a little pitch video, which, you know, a person can do it with their iPhone.
Right.
I mean, it can be done as easily as you want or as elaborately as you want. We happen to have, you know, movie cameras because we're movie makers, so we shot ours with cool cameras, but you can shoot it with anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we put together a little video that basically told people what we were up to, why we were asking them to help, and in the process of creating this video, we wanted to show what the movie was going to be like. So the pitch video goes from being, you know, hi, I'm Penn Jillette, please help us raise our money to make our movie, to a little moment where you actually feel and see what the movie is going to be like.
Ah.
You know, so if you go to fundanything.com and you go to our page and you watch our video, you'll see we made a little tiny version of our movie, you know, so people get a taste of the movie.
Okay.
And then you just put it up on the site. It's very easy. Anybody can do it. Now, where it's hard, and I encourage people to take heed, is you have to manage your campaign every day. It's your job for the duration of your campaign. You can run a 30-day campaign, a 45-day campaign, a 2-day campaign, however long you want your campaign to be up. But it's a campaign. Make no mistake.
When you say manage, what do you mean by that?
Well, I'll say like this. When you're running for mayor every day.
Right.
You're not just running for mayor once a week and checking in. you know, to see if you got any votes.
Right.
You're speaking every day at different places. You're shaking hands. You're kissing babies, right? So
right. When
you're running a Fund Anything campaign, you have to write updates constantly. You have to tweet constantly. You have to Facebook constantly. You have to email, you know, get emails, encourage your friends to email and email, get email lists from your friends. And you really have to work it. And you really have to, you know, you've got to always keep your campaign page in people's, you know, awareness.
In their view, right. Right. People have a short attention span these days. So, you know, it totally stands to reason in any marketing realm, period. If you don't stay on it, you're not going to get the results you're looking for. You guys have obviously been managing your adventure here very well because you made the $1 million mark, which is tremendous. I mean, that's just amazing.
And make no mistake, it was hard. People think, oh, Penn Jillette's famous. All he has to do is say, please give me money, and people will line up to give him money.
Yeah.
Not the case.
Not
this
so much.
This was our full-time job for the last, 45 days. And Penn worked as hard as anybody, if not harder. He just pimped this campaign to his own detriment because, you know, Penn has a lot of Twitter followers that actually started to get pissed off that he kept tweeting about the campaign, you know? Like, get back to tweeting about atheism, you know?
Yeah.
Why didn't he just go to Donald Trump and say, listen, man, hook me up.
The Donald.
You know, we were together. We did a show together. I know I got fired, but, you know, can you help the brother out?
Well, Donald Trump owns the site fundanything.com, so...
Oh, he does. He? Okay.
Really?
He does. So he did go to Donald. He did, actually, yes.
Something else I want to mention about that is I was working with Emily, Penn's wife, on doing the T-shirts through my company, Artistic Journey, and she was talking about what they're planning on doing in order to ship out the T-shirts and the different goods that people have qualified for by contributing with you and being part of this movie with you. They're going to go to a group called Opportunity Village in Vegas, and Opportunity Village is a place that helps intellectually disabled people to stay in the game, to stay active and doing great things. So they do things like they make buttons, they'll shred your documents, they'll copy papers for you, they'll even package coffee and put labels on it, and they can fold and collate and insert for mailings. And they do services like that that make them feel like they're needed, like they're wanted, gives them income, and puts them as a member of society, rather than, you know, throwing them on the side saying you're not qualified to do anything because you might have a brain injury. So I think it's great that instead of just getting a bunch of volunteers, you know, and everybody's always willing to volunteer and help in things like this when it's related to a movie and a star and a star director and all that type of thing, but to go to these types of groups and organizations and let them be a part of your excitement. I just think that is such an awesome thing for you guys to be doing.
Thank you. Well, as you know, Penn has always been very supportive of Opportunity Village. He raised a tremendous amount of money for them on Celebrity Apprentice, and it's a fantastic and worthy cause, and I'm glad that I can be a part of it too by us being able to work with them on our fulfillment for the campaign, and you know, they'll be not only, you know, helping us out and having the, you know, the satisfaction of knowing they're, you know, working
part of it.
And being a part of it, but also too, I mean, they're going to benefit from our campaign financially as well. So, you know, we're giving back to them in more ways than one.
It's a win-win situation. I think it's excellent. I didn't realize that that was the charity that he was working with on The Apprentice. So that was the one that he was raising money for, correct?
That's correct.
That's excellent. And again, if people want to know more about it, it's opportunityvillage.org, so you can find it on the website. We're going to take a very short break for a commercial, and we'll be right back with Adam Rifkin.
This segment of the show sponsored by Artistic Journey, where we help groups and organizations reach their fundraising goals by providing unique marketing products to showcase their events. Be sure to visit ArtisticJourney.com, where you can shop for over 750,000 items to put your logo on, all at wholesale pricing. Whether you're looking for some fresh ideas or just need a better price on the goods you currently purchase, let Artistic Journey's years of experience bring your events to a whole new level. Visit ArtisticJourney.com today.
So listen up. If you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind, ST Productions, an audio, video, graphic design service.
We are back with Adam Rifkin. If you're just joining us, Adam is talking about a new movie that he's working with Penn Jillette called Director's Cut. Adam, are you still there?
I'm here.
He is still there, people. That is
has
excellent.
He fallen off has the sleep? What's yeah. the question?
If you tuned in earlier, you know that Adam works real early in the morning doing his writing, so he might have snoozed off during that last commercial, but we hope you didn't.
So Adam, I know that your fundanything.com, it's fundanything.com, and then what do they put in? Do they put in Director's Cut, or do they put in your name, Adam Rifkin, or Penn Jillette, or how do they get to your page?
The direct link to the page is fundanything.com/Penn, P-E-N-N.
Okay.
But if you just go to fundanything.com, if you've forgotten the /Penn, you will see a place to click to get to the Penn Jillette campaign. So
It
won't be hard to find.
And I want to let people know that this is basically, you're a part of this film when you donate money. When you, it's not just a frivolous donation that's going somewhere. This is actually money that helps to create the film. It helps to hire the camera crews and the locations and the permits and the every part that it takes to make a film. And the donations start at $10. So for $10, you can literally be part of making this film with Adam and Penn. And that's a pretty exciting thing, especially for people who don't have access to Hollywood. And our radio show goes all over the United States, so I want to encourage people from, you know, Maine and Florida and people that don't get the chance to participate in Hollywood to hop on there and be part of this film, because this is your chance to get in. Even as low as $10, you're part of it. So
you can be Hollywood.
It's true.
That is 100% true, and I mean, this is something that Penn and I decided on before we started this campaign. We are so appreciative of everybody who is contributing, whether it's $10 or whether it's $10,000, that we are truly, and we mean this from the bottom of our hearts, we are partners with everybody who is contributing to this project. We are all making this film together. When a movie studio funds a movie, they're your boss. They are funding the movie, and they can come to the set when they want, they can read the script when they want, they can tell you what they think. That's the job. Well, our movie studio on this movie happens to be everybody out there who's contributing. So everybody has access to us. Everybody has an opportunity to be a part of it. There are, you know, I mean, listen, you can get, everybody pretty much gets a credit in the film who contributes. So your appreciation is already, you know, at the end of the movie, everybody is thanked, who's even if you give the smallest amount. But, you know, then, you know, you'll see. I mean, if you follow us on Twitter, check it out. I mean, we're talking to everybody who's involved all day, every day, because when you contribute to this film and you're a part of the film, you want the film to be a success as much as anybody. So then you're suddenly encouraging your friends
right.
to contribute, and it's a network. It spreads out. It's like ripples in a pond, you know.
Yeah,
and
I was gonna say snowballing. Yeah.
Now, wouldn't it be fun if you had like everyone who contributed money all show up on the set one day? I think that would be awesome, and they're all demanding, going, I want you bitches
day,
to get me coffee.
I hope it's the day we're shooting the crowd scene and not the day we're shooting the scene in the bathroom stall.
True. So, but see, that could be fun, just to see all those bosses in 1 minute. Like, just one time.
So I wanted to talk about, I saw something where Penn says, no one in Hollywood will let me play the mean guy, and that's how this all started. Do you know about that?
Well, that's what gave him. Yeah, that's what gave him the idea to write this movie in the first place. I mean, Penn is notoriously a really nice guy.
Yeah.
And he wants to play a really, really bad guy. And so that's why he wanted to write this movie, so that he gets a chance to play a bad guy.
That, I think that's so cool that he's like, hey, you know what? If Hollywood's not going to allow me to do it, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to write my own script, fund it myself, and put it out there myself. And that's what I think is so great about what's happening around the world, or is that artists are taking back their creative rights. You know, I think it's gotten back to the point where it's like, hey, you know what? We're going to do it independently. If no one else wants to support it, we'll find people who do support it, and we'll still be able to put it out. Instead of begging and hoping and making all the compromises to say, okay, I'll play a semi-bad guy. It's like, no, I want to be evil.
Well, geez, Tony, you've been doing that for 30 years.
I know. Well, that's my point.
Yeah, well, you know.
But it's fun. It's fun to, you know, I mean, I'll tell you, as a filmmaker myself, when you have an idea and you write it and then you get an opportunity to make it and then you see it play before an audience and you see the audience reacting to it the way you always hoped they would, there's no better feeling. So, you know, Penn having this dream of playing a bad guy, he's having so much fun living this, you know, bad guy persona already. I mean, the catchphrase of our campaign is help make Penn a bad guy. And
yeah.
He has been, you know, living out that fantasy a little bit, you know, throughout the campaign. It's been a lot of fun.
What do you think he dressed as for Halloween trick-or-treating with his kids the other night? A
bad
guy?
I don't know. Probably so.
Is he practicing?
Well, he showed up on VH1's morning show called Morning Buzz dressed up like that guy, so that was pretty fun.
How cool.
Really, you know, I've never seen him outside of a suit, so that would be interesting. I if he wore normal clothing, I wouldn't recognize him. Or if he let his hair down, I'd be like, who's that dude? Because, you know, you always see him with a suit and his hair pulled back, so
sophisticated.
He could be like Superman. He could just put on some regular jeans and be like, wow, that guy, who is that? He looks just like Penn.
He's scary. He's scary.
And now, let me ask, does Teller have any lines in the movie?
There's going to be a surprise in that regard. I can't say anything more than that, but don't be surprised if you're surprised.
Awesome.
I heard that he's very talkative. That's because every time he's on stage, he's not allowed to talk. So
he actually does talk in real life, and I have spoken with him, and he's a very great, very smart guy. And like I said, in the movie, don't be surprised if you're surprised by something.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I thank you very much, Adam, for everything that you're doing out there in Hollywood. And, again, if you want to support this particular film, it's going to be going on for another 2 weeks for the fundraiser. It's the director's cut. Penn Jillette is in it. Go to fundanything.com/Penn, P-E-N-N. It's going to end on November 15th, so definitely check it out. And also, if you get a chance, check out opportunityvillage.org. Adam and Penn are actually using this company to help put all their gifts together.
And Adam, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you personally, because you're always doing stuff. You don't only have one thing going on at a time. And I encourage people to follow you. So where can people keep in touch with you and just see when this is coming out, what you're doing besides this movie, and start to get to know you better?
The Adam Cam. I think there's an AdamCam.com that follows you around?
I wish. Anybody can follow me on Twitter, and you have direct access to me at Adam Rifkin. Now, a buddy of mine is also named Adam Rifkin, and his Twitter handle is at IFindKarma, which is an anagram for Adam Rifkin. And we are oftentimes mistaken for one another, but mine is at Adam Rifkin. So please follow me on Twitter, and let's be friends.
Will you find different tweets between the two of you? Is that a distinct difference?
we give each other the tweets back and forth that people send to the wrong Adam Rifkin all the time.
Okay. Just curious.
Adam, thank you so much for joining us, man. And we really look forward to this movie and all the other future projects you have coming out. Will you check back in with us and let us know the progress of how things are going?
Love to.
Excellent. Enjoy your day, darling. We'll talk to you again real soon. And everybody that's listening, please get out there and support these guys and join part of this movie.
Peace.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. Really appreciate it.
Bye, Adam.
Bye-bye.
You know, at this time, what I'd love to do is just play a song called Magnet for Money. It's a song that was on my last album, and this goes out to Penn and Adam for raising over $1 million for their project on Fund Anything. This is for you guys, .com, yeah.
Tell us about the song, Tony. Why did you write this, and how do you view this song?
This song's about bringing money to yourself when you are in need of cash. So you're a magnet for money, and it's just raising your vibration. So I'm going to send this one out to anybody who is looking to raise funds for a great cause. This is Magnet for Money. That is Magnet for Money. You can find that song on iTunes, on CD Baby, on Bandcamp, or you can go to www.sainttone.com and click on it. It's available, and I think a lot of people should go out there and start singing it.
Download it onto your phone, even. We have a friend, two friends, Sean and Tracy Williams from Love All Humans, and Sean tells Tony what he does with that song. Go ahead and fill them in on that. And then
he says that he sings it around the house for days. And his wife always goes, what are you singing? You keep singing that song. He goes, yeah, I'm a magnet for money. That's what it's all about.
And what happens?
And money starts to arrive.
Isn't that awesome?
I think it's great.
We were also at a show called Step to the Mic a few months ago. They had Tony and I film on their show. And we met a guy there named Shane Sparks. And Shane's from a TV show called Planet Dance. And he kept going, that's your hook, man, that's your hook. I love that part, that's your hook.
Yeah, but you got to get to the main part. I'm a magnet for money.
Yeah, well, it's the lead into. So the song's had a lot of popularity. People think about it in different ways and for themselves. And and organizations and things that they're doing. So it's really cool to have a song that represents multiple things, that is catchy and fun, and that people can actually literally use in order to make some changes in their own financial situation. Pretty well, cool, Tony. Well done.
I was going to say, the whole point of it is to take it from the first person, that you are singing it out loud, that I'm a magnet for money. So we're just trying to get you to raise your vibration and trying to get you to focus that money is on its way.
So speaking of money on its way, I was looking up some cool fundraising things in the month of November, see who's doing what. And something I came across was the Yankee Candle. I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard about Yankee Candle. They sell these candles in like Pier 1 and all these places all over the country. What they're doing is a fundraising ability where you go on their website, you sign up to be a fundraiser, and here's how it works. Basically, right now you can do in schools and colleges and things like that, you sell 10 packs of gift wrap or you sell 100 chocolate bars and you raise money for your cause. What Yankee Candle does is you hop on there, you sign up as a fundraiser, you literally, if you sell 5 candles, you make $50 profit for your fundraising.
Awesome.
Yeah, so you can either sell 5 candles or you can sell 100 chocolate bars. What sounds easier to you?
I like the chocolate bars, but 100 would make me sick, so I
yeah,
like
right?
candles.
Well, that's cool. Over the holidays, they have pumpkin spice and they have pine cone smells and things like that, but I just think it's a really cool, unique way to raise some money for a fundraiser. You can get people to buy 5 candles, and geez, I mean, that's
you're saying
a really
one person buy 5 candles now? If they want to give them
well,
away
if you
gifts.
Want 5 candles, you can buy 5, but the point is it only takes 5 candles to make $50 profit.
No,
that's
I totally get it. I totally get it. And I think it's a great option as opposed to 100 candy bars.
Totally. Better for your health. Won't expand your waistline.
Can you stand outside of a grocery store with candles?
If they allow you to, you just have to ask a grocery store.
Okay.
Just like Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, when they're selling their stuff, they go in the store and they say, will you allow us to sell out front? Mm-hmm. You and I did a
Salvation Army. Yes. I played the bell on my foot and played guitar for the Salvation Army.
That's right.
A couple of years back.
In front of a grocery store in Florida.
Someone told me, he says, you're the best bell ringer I've heard. Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. I said, that's because I'm playing guitar and I'm putting the bell on my foot. Because everyone's like, hey, you have to play the bell. And I said, well, what if I play guitar and I play the bell on my foot? And they're like, yeah. It
worked out great.
Whatever you want. But the thing is that you have people dancing with you.
Tony and I had a little competition. He was on one store entrance, and I was at a different store entrance for the same store.
You had a boombox, didn't
and
you?
And so we made a bet who was going to raise the most money, whether he was going to raise it with his foot-jingling
guitar-singing
technique. And I thought, okay, well, he's got all the music and the noise over there, so what am I going to do? So I had one of the basket guys that was collecting the baskets in the shopping carts out in the parking lot. He said, I have a boombox, and I only have 6 songs.
Go.
And I'm going, okay, so I got a boombox with 6 songs, and they were like crazy old-fashioned Christmas songs. And so I started grabbing every guy over the age of 65 that walked out the door and made them pay $5 to dance with me.
There you go.
And I won.
Yeah, you easily won.
So it goes to show, you can be creative and raise a lot of money just doing fun, silly things. And for us, we were just helping Salvation Army raise some funds for their holiday. And it was a lot of fun. But to give you some direction, if you're looking for a place to go where you can figure out who's doing what in what part of the country that you can join in and be a part of, I go to a site called Eventbrite. It's EventBrite.com. And you put in your zip code or your state or your country, and it gives you a whole list of what's going on in that area that you can jump in on and how to contact them and how to be part of events. So it's a real easy way to find events. And then
Eventbrite. Now, can you break that down to towns or is it by state?
Zip code.
By zip code.
Yeah, you can literally put your own zip code in and what's happening in your hood, that kind of thing. There's also something else I want to let you know about. On November 14th at 1 p.m., there's a webinar. And the webinar is on guidestar.org, GUIDESTAR.org. And the title of the webinar is How to Exceed Your 2013 Fundraising Goals.
Hmm.
could be very helpful for those of you who are just planning things for Thanksgiving, Christmas time, even New Year's, to just give you some extra edge and some advantage. What I like about GuideStar is the CEO has a mission statement that says, everyone has the power to change the world, and it's our mission to help them do it. I think that is just awesome, awesome. I think these guys are perfect role models for humanitarian radio. They're willing to help you with your fundraising, and there's a lot of things that they have to offer. So I would suggest, at the very least, go check out GuideStar.org and sign up for the November 14th free webinar on how to exceed your 2013 fundraising goals.
See, you know what I think, which is interesting, is that a lot of people want to do good things, but they don't know how to get the money to flow into themselves.
Or how to start it.
How to start it. They're like, hey, we'd love to help the homeless or a soup kitchen, but they're not sure on how they can help, or they want to raise money for a certain fund to have a building erected or you know, help dig a well in Africa, whatever it might be. But you always need some type of funds, and that's where the problem is. A lot of people go, well, I'm not sure how to raise that kind of money or raise the awareness to get the money to come in. You know, when you're a celebrity, you already have that status that you can just say, hey, I'm going to reach out to my rich friends, and they just can easily show up.
That and you have a good following.
Exactly. But if you have no following and you really don't know where to go, this is a place where you can actually learn about money.
Yes, get some tips of how to get something started. And, you know, I always say on this show, go with whatever you're passionate with. If there's certain areas that touch your life and you say, geez, I've always wanted to help these guys out, or I always wanted to do something for this particular neighborhood or this school or whatever it is, go for what you're passionate to, because it'll be a lot easier for you to find ways and understanding to make projects work if it's something that your heart is connected to.
But also, I was going to add that if you search the internet for ways to raise funds,
tons
for a nonprofit, there is a
tons
lot of
information
on the internet, but I think a lot of people don't even think to turn to that, like to Google how to raise funds for a nonprofit.
And if you go back to any of our archived shows, on every single show, we give you tidbits on who you can go to and where on the internet you can find Helping Hands for fundraising. So you always have, you know, the last 30 shows to look back on and get some information on each and every show.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm encouraging people that if you are looking to raise funds or looking to start a nonprofit, there is a lot of information out there for you. You just have to start Googling it and looking for it. And again, this whole radio show is out there for that reason, to bring awareness to a lot of the organizations that are out there already doing it, but also to bring ideas in to say, hey, you can do this yourself for your own organization.
Absolutely. So let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, last week we did a segment on, actually I think it was the week before, but recently, we did a segment on celebrities who are great fundraisers, you know, using their name a couple weeks, yeah. And I have a continuation of that show in that I found another really interesting list that I want to throw at you. So let's take a quick commercial. When we come back, we'll look at some more celebrities that are doing really cool things.
Be right back. Gilman Amps, we create the tone in your head. Custom-built guitar and bass tube amplifiers.
Hey everybody, this is David Gilman from Gilman Amps. If you need any repairs, modifications, or restorations of your vintage or modern tube equipment, as well as custom builds, I'd love to hear from you.
For more information, check out their website, GilmanAmps.com, and Facebook/GilmanAmps. We create the tone in your head.
Hi, this is Robert Sarzo. Supporting Humanitarian Radio. Rock on.
Humanitarian Radio. Shouting out some good news for your soul.
It is good news for your soul. You know, the great thing about Humanitarian Radio is we only talk about great positive things. Yeah. So if you have a great positive thing you want us to know about or someone that we should feature, whether they're a feature in our Hollywood humanitarian segment or they are a feature because they're in your hometown and they're doing something awesome, reach out to humanitarianradio.com or Humanitarian Radio Facebook and let us know what's going on. We're happy, happy, happy to interview people and showcase people who are doing awesome things in our country and around the world.
By the way, that was three happies, if you weren't counting.
Happy, happy, happy.
Joy, joy.
Well, there's only two for that.
That's
happy,
Ren and
happy.
Stimpy, by the way.
Joy, joy. So our next segment is going to be a continuation of the celebrity fundraising that we did a couple weeks ago on the air. I found a really interesting list of people, and when I started looking through it, it actually surprised me. These are celebrities who started their own foundations, and people that you think would raise a lot of money actually don't raise a lot of money, and people that you would not even expect to have their own fundraising foundation have great amounts of money. So I thought it would be really interesting to share some of these with you. Tony, you've got a list over there. Who do you have on your list that surprises you?
What I'm going to do is I'm actually going to say to you what the service is, what the amount is, and then you tell me who the celebrity is.
Oh, so good grief.
Data gathering and research on manatees.
They have
$1 million in assets. So, again, it's data gathering and research on manatees.
Just manatees alone,
yes, and
would
they have
bring me right
dollars.
To Jimmy Buffett. I know he's a huge manatee supporter, and I lived in Florida, so it's really that was unfair. I already knew that one.
You must have cheated. Yes, it is now, Jimmy Buffett.
So how much has Jimmy Buffett raised to keep manatees in our world?
It's called the Save the Manatee Club, and $1.3
million. $1.3
million.
Okay, that's interesting. I wonder if he raises that through the sale of his beer product, because he has his own beer company now.
Yeah, but that's shark beer.
Right.
It's not manatee beer. But he has so many things going on.
But I know that he does percentages of all of his products that are sold goes to his foundation. I'm assuming it would be this one.
Yeah, unless he has other ones. I mean, he sells T-shirts, he sells beer, he sells everything under the sun.
Yep, true.
Okay, Boys and Girls Club of America, $500,000. Who is it?
Now, I know Nancy Cartwright, the voice of Bart Simpson, she's a big proponent of Boys and Girls Club of America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Tony. Tell us who.
Okay. Starts with the letter O.
Pra.
You're good. That is Oprah Winfrey, everyone. Oprah Winfrey supports the Boys and Girls Club of America, and she has $500,000 in her organization, which is really interesting because she's worth a gajillion. But you know what? Again, she probably is doing so many different charities, and this one just happened to be on the list.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, I'm going to give you a name, and you tell me how much you think they would have raised, and this will be a shocker. How many of you remember the name Gene Autry? Blast from the past. Tony, do you even know who that
is? No, I know the name. I think she's an actress.
It's a he, actually.
Oh, even better. There you go.
Gene Autry has the Autry Foundation, and he gives to the Autry Museum of Western Heritage. He is a passed away actor, and he is still raising money. He's raised $17 million to keep his museum afloat, and it's preserving Western heritage, so that's really interesting. And then another one that surprised me is Tom Brokaw, the news guy. Remember Tom Brokaw?
Yes, you know Tom, I know.
He has a foundation called Brokaw Family Foundation, and he is also contributing to the American Museum of Natural History to preserve our history. He has only $63,000 raised, but let me just say, the fact that he's raising anything is pretty awesome. So I applaud Tom for what he's doing with his famous name.
Listen, all these people. I mean, here we have Rosie O'Donnell. It's the For All Kids Foundation, $33 million.
Rosie's raised $33
million.
See,
yeah.
That is so awesome. That is so awesome. And then I have Jerry Bruckheimer, who's raised $210,000 for the Bruckheimer Foundation. James Cagney. He started a foundation, and currently it has nothing in it. So anybody that would like to help James Cagney.
Poor James.
Yeah. He received an Oscar, and, you know, he's been out there in the world for a lot of years in our past, and it appears that his foundation is now either closed or is in big need of love.
See, now Garth Brooks, we know that he's doing some stuff in Las Vegas. I think he's doing like a once-a-month show. But College Prospects of America, it's the Touch 'Em All Foundation, and I guess he's helping kids go to college. He's got $5.8 million in his organization of assets. So there's a lot of people doing some really great things. And again, when you look at these lists, you start saying, like, you would think some would have more than others, but I mean, the Jimi Hendrix Family Foundation is pretty interesting. It's a Red House exhibit and guitar competition, and they have over $100,000 in that fund. And I'm not even sure exactly what they do. So these are things that I'd love to look up and just see how they're helping. But they are all helping people in need, and that's what I think is so awesome.
Hugh Hefner has associated himself with the American Jazz Philharmonic, and he has contributed or has in his foundation $1 million raised for that cause.
And he's always been a very big advocate for jazz. He's always had the jazz concerts.
Hugh? Yeah, I didn't know that about him.
Mm-hmm.
Kelsey Grammer has a foundation called Save the Children Care Skills that he raises money for, and that's an awesome cause. He's got a little over $500,000 raised for them. But here's one that I really liked, Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda gives to the Georgia Campaign for Adolescent Pregnancy Prevention.
Really?
I think it's great that people are looking to solve problems, as in, you know, a lot of times people are looking to throw money at medical care and things of that nature. Well, this is more of an awareness type thing. Let's mm-hmm. get the word out there so that we don't have these issues to have to solve. So I think that's a really cool thing that she's kind of reaching it before it gets to a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's, like I said, these organizations, as I'm looking at these lists, I think it's just really cool that there's so many actual celebrities out there that are doing something. So regardless of how much money they've raised, the fact that they're actually taking the time to do something with their popularity or their fame is really great, lending their name and their support.
David Letterman, is he from Indiana?
Yes.
His foundation is the Indiana Special Olympics, and he's $300,000 involved in that. And Jay Leno, Massachusetts. Is he a New England guy, maybe? Massachusetts General Hospital and the Screen Actors Guild. He's $500,000 into helping out. Red Skelton. Do you remember? Skelton.
Yes.
I don't think it's Skelton.
My parents remember them.
Red Skelton. Opera House. Amargosa Opera House that he contributed to and still continues to do so.
Yeah. I think it's great that there are people out there doing this. So this is just a little glimpse of what you could do if you're someone out there who's famous or not famous. You can actually start an organization and be part of this list, and chances are you might raise money, more money than some celebrities out there.
One more I'm going to throw at you before we wrap this up and go on to the next segment. Tommy Hilfiger, the Fresh Air Fund. I like it. Thanks, Tommy, keeping our air fresh. Isn't that awesome?
I didn't even know there was an organization for fresh air.
I had no idea, but I'm glad there is. Then we can all continue to breathe.
I'll take a deep breath on that. So that is our show for today. We will see you next week, same time, same station. If you are on the Pacific, obviously you're listening to this at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. If you're on the East Coast, then it's 6 o'clock. But now the clocks have changed, it might have thrown you a little.
Yeah. And if you missed this show or any other, you can always go on humanitarianradio.com and listen to any previous shows. And again, if you're looking for some tidbits and some advice on fundraising or products or sponsors and things of that nature, feel free to contact us by way of Humanitarian Radio or Facebook and Humanitarian Radio there also, and we'll help you out.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Have a great week.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.